You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
And 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland, one of the dozens of sports stations you can hear when you download the Radio.com app for free to your phone. And Daryl Ryder of 92.3, The Fan, joining us now to talk some Cleveland Browns football. Daryl, how have you been?
I've been good. The Browns, not so good.
Well, you got a little gift today, or tell us what the reaction is. I mean, we were all kind of looking forward to this showdown of the two quarterbacks you would hope that would be competing in the AFC for years and years. And, you know, the reaction today in Cleveland that you're going to be facing Trevor Siemian coming up Monday night here.
Well, I can tell you the Browns are hardly celebrating because, first of all, their preparation plans, they have to do a 180 now and prepare for it completely different player and a player that they have very limited film on. They have to go in the archives and look at his two seasons that he started with the Denver Broncos to try and glean some information and prepare for them. So they're not celebrating. Remember, last week they went into that opener against Tennessee, and Freddie Kitchens pointed this out. They were down two offensive linemen, and it really didn't seem to matter. So the Browns are approaching this as if Darnold is going to play, even though he's going to be out. And what I mean by that is they're obviously not going to walk into MetLife Stadium believing they're going to have a much easier night than if Darnold were starting.
Daryl, with all of the fanfare in the preseason of the Cleveland Browns and everybody buying into the hype to see the disappointing loss on Sunday against the Titans, I guess my question would be, did the Browns forget about the offensive line when constructing this team?
No, they didn't forget about the offensive line. I mean, they brought in Chris Hubbard last year. They drafted Austin Corbett 33rd overall last year. The reason they felt it was a luxury to trade Kevin Zeitler, who I believe was around $12 million he was going to make this coming season, and they basically shifted that money to the defensive line because Olivier Vernon's making around 15. So they thought that they were dealing from a position of strength. Corbett's been a major disappointment. He wasn't even active Sunday. They have tried him at a variety of positions on the line, and it's not worth, I think, the last-ditch hope they have for him is that he ultimately becomes the center next year because their current center, J.C. Treader, is in the final year of his contract. So it's not that they have completely forgotten the line when building the team. It's the problem is that the line that they built is not, performing up to expectations.
You got a six-round pick you had to send to Buffalo for Wyatt Teller. So the outlook here is he expected to help out at some point? Did he even dress week one there, Daryl?
I believe he was active, but he didn't see the field. That's just off the top of my head. He didn't play.
I guess that answers our question that this is not somebody that's going to fix the problem right now then.
Yeah. I mean, that trade was a depth trade. They traded for another guard as well. That was a depth move. Just basically they're throwing stuff against the wall right now to see if they can, get something to stick. And it's easy to pin the problems offensively on that offensive line, especially after Greg Robinson got ejected for kicking Vaccaro in the head. And they had to do the whole offensive line shuffle there. But if you go back and you do a little deeper dive and examine that game, Baker Mayfield played a tremendous role in some of the difficulties as well. But it is understandable when you see five sacks, seven quarterback hits, numerous other pressures, that you're going to blame the offensive line. But as I said, Baker Mayfield didn't play his best game either.
Daryl, I mean, the optimist in me would say if I was a Cleveland Brown fan and that game ended the way it ended, that you could leave thinking, all right, well, maybe that's the best thing that could have happened to us. Now we've gotten our worst loss out of the way and we can, work on playing up to our potential the rest of the season. Is anybody thinking that way?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, they got a dose of humble pie. There's no question about it. It was a disappointing effort. I mean, it's certainly, you could feel the wind kind of come out of the fans' sails. They were the ones that were hyped up. I mean, I really thought the Browns took a business-like approach to their preseason as well as their training camp. I really liked the way Freddie Kitchens ran it, but, you know, Tennessee, you give them credit. They came in, it was a 15-13 game in the fourth quarter, and then Baker Mayfield throws those three interceptions in the span of four possessions, and what was once a tight game turns into a laugher. So it only counts as one. It doesn't matter if you lose it by one or by 40. And, you know, they can now just kind of look forward. But I do think that maybe in the long run, it could be of some benefit to them.
Darrell Ryder, 92.3, the fanradio.com station, joining us here in the sports bar. Odell Beckham Jr. stirring the pot here a little bit today. Let me just read the quote here about Greg Williams, where he's saying to watch out for the cheap shots and the dirty hits and all the things that he, meaning Williams, likes to teach. As somebody who has covered Greg Williams, was that over the line or is that accurate? What do you think here, Darrell?
That's pretty much on the money. You know, Greg Williams has got a little red backside in him, and you know, he's old school, and he's an aggressive defensive coordinator. He does teach his players to try and get under the skin of opponents, force his opponents to make those mistakes, those mental mistakes, those physical mistakes. Now, the resume is the resume, okay? We all know Greg Williams served a season-long ban for his role in the New Orleans Saints Bounty Gate scandal. His role in that is rather undisputed. The evidence speaks for itself. He has, I can tell you, with the Browns, the 2 years that he was here and covering him, you know, he really tried to wash himself of that scandal and kind of put that behind him. So, for Beckham to say that he felt in 2017, which was Williams' first year as the defensive coordinator, that, you know, he felt targeted in that game and that injury he suffered, which was an ankle injury, Beckham said changed his life. And it had a domino effect on his final 2 years in New York, which were injury riddled. So the thought and feeling that a superstar would assume or think that Greg Williams targeted him in a preseason game, not that shocking. But what did surprise me in that whole thing when Beckham was talking about today is he said that came straight from the Browns locker room. Browns players told him that Williams said, hit him, take him out of the game. If you injure him, he'll leave the game, you know, things like that. And that is what has stuck with Beckham as he remembers those conversations with former Cleveland Browns players that played for Williams.
Yeah, I mean, we could have a whole nother conversation on how Greg Williams is still in the league with that being the mentality of how he coaches up his team. Darrell Ryder of 92.3 The Fan, our guest here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. If we're talking about Beckham, you know, with all of the commentary around the watch that's happened all this week, and apparently he's going to wear the watch again on Monday night in New York. Look, I'm more interested on what's happening with Odell in that locker room. How's the Odell Jarvis Landry dynamic working? I mean, what are the thoughts of some of these stars after a disappointing week one?
Well, here's what I've learned about covering Odell Beckham Jr. My bar tab's going to be very expensive this season. it's more than LeBron was here. I mean, this is
wow.
You know, he plays a little victim, and it's like, well, dude, you know, you can't do things that garner attention.
Yes.
And then when you're asked about it, complain that you're being asked about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's the issue that I have. You're free to do whatever you want. I don't care. I think the watch thing is like of the things that I care about in life, like that's not even on the radar or even like professionally. Like I don't care. But when the league reaches out to the Browns expressing some concern about it, well, all of a sudden that kind of becomes a story because you're talking about a potential rules violation. So he made it clear today he don't want to talk about the watch anymore. And he said on Tuesday when he was frustrated, we were asking about it, that, you know, hey, he's going to keep wearing it. He doesn't see it to be a problem. And, you know, so if the league finds him or takes whatever action, then, you know, that's what the league does. But, again, that's one thing I've noticed about Odell is he attracts the attention, and then when he gets the attention, he complains about getting the attention for stuff that doesn't relate to football.
What about Jarvis?
Jarvis is great. I don't have any issue with him. You know, they're best buds, him and Beckham. And, you know, unfortunately, we haven't really seen that duo kind of take off, because that's what we're all excited about, right, is that Odell and Jarvis and, you know, the explosiveness that they're going to be able to provide this offense. And here's the thing, too. Let's be fair to Odell. From a football standpoint, he did his job on Sunday. Mm-hmm. He led the team in catches, had 7 catches for 71 yards, okay, over 10 yards per catch average. There were a couple times I thought that Baker was kind of looking to hit the home run ball with him a little bit. So there are no issues football-wise with Odell, none whatsoever. Same thing with Jarvis. But, you know, we're just kind of waiting to see this offense really kind of catch its stride with those two guys as the top two targets.
So the betting line started at Browns by 2. Now it's gone up to 6. You're a road favorite by 6 here. This is uncharted territory, at least for many, many years. Darrell, what happens if the home dog wins? How does the world look in Cleveland on Monday? Because you look at the schedule coming up, and yes, you're on Sunday Night Football. You're against the Rams, and you get Baltimore the week after for all the season of hope here, and people might overreact to an 0-2 start, but your head coach is... It'll be the ultimate test here if he's strong enough, Darrell, to keep things going if it doesn't go the Browns' way Monday night.
I got 4 words for you. The sky will fall if they start 0-2. I mean, it'll be apocalyptic here in Cleveland as far as the freakouts go. Because the expectation, this is not a 3-year rebuild. This is, you know, Freddie Kitchens, this is the unfortunate thing about being a first-year head coach. You know, Freddie Kitchens is stepping into this thing. He is expected to win football games right out of the gate. And so his margin for error, unfortunately, isn't a lot. And he, you know, so the honeymoon's going to end very, very quickly for him if they start off 0-2 and they're staring down the Los Angeles Rams rolling in here on Sunday Night Football. I'll also say part of the reason the Browns are playing so many primetime games early, they've got this one Monday night. They've got the Rams on Sunday Night Football. They've got a Monday nighter at San Francisco. And then they're scheduled the middle of the season in November for a Thursday nighter on Fox with Pittsburgh. The reason the networks got the Browns early in the season so many times was because if they do lay an egg this year and they don't live up to the hype, you know, they don't have to worry about putting a bad football team on their air late in the season when division titles and playoff spots are on the line.
Darrell Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Darrell, always gracious with your time. If you have a second, let our listeners know what you're working on over at 92.3 The Fan that we can check out on the radio.com app.
Oh, we have plenty on Odell's comments today about Greg Williams. Also, Josh Cribbs, the former Browns kick returner. I have a story on him. He is eligible for the first time for the Hall of Fame. He's one of the 122 nominees, and quite frankly, there's a lot of former Cleveland Browns that are going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame, and it'll be interesting to watch this fall whether or not those guys advance through the voting process.
Monday Night Football, Jets and Browns, Darrell Ryder, our guest. Darrell, be well, and let's do this again before the Bills and Browns that week in November.
Sounds like a plan.
Appreciate it, Darrell. Good stuff. Darrell Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Yeah. Funny how, like, I'm not buying the, well, Sam Darnold's not playing. Ooh, this means we got to go back to Trevor Siemian. No. I'm sorry. That is a win. Vegas thinks that's a win. The line going, pew, 2 to 6 points. Cleveland is a 6-point. Think of that, Danger. Cleveland is a 6-point favorite coming off a... What, a 43-13 loss. They're a 6-point favorite. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your New York Jets. State of the New York Jets here in week 2.
Can you imagine if they lose?
Cleveland lost by 30, and they're favored by 6 on
imagine,
the road.
Can you imagine if they lose? I mean, they're going on the road. It's a Monday night game. They're playing the Jets. The Jets probably going to be better than they were against the Bills. Could you imagine if the Browns lose?
Oh, no.
4 words. The sky will fall. Oh, Cleveland. Whew, if you came in late for that conversation with Daryl Ryder of 92.3 The Fan, we'll get it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com, our home online, and you can always search out our online audio on demand through the radio.com app. Just search the Sports Bar, and all of our guests' appearances will be lined up for you right there. Next in the Sports Bar, we serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. It's appetizers, and it's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years online at alexsribs.com.
I tell you what, though, we're talking about the Sam Darnold story. The Jets have other problems other than that. They are really a banged-up team. More news coming out of there. We have news from the Redskins, the Chargers. Daryl Ryder just pointed out some of the names on the Pro Football Hall of Fame first-class inductees right now that could be up. Those stories and more are coming up in apps.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.